Okay, let's pray. Father, we just pray as we just listen to your word, that we may really get an understanding of what you were saying in this passage, this very important passage about this blessing that Isaac gave Jacob. So we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is the second message in our series on the life of Jacob. Now, last week, Carl gave a message on Esau selling his birthright to his brother Jacob. Now, before that, when Rebecca was pregnant with these twins, she had inquired of the Lord as to why there was a struggle within her. You know, she could feel physically what was going on, and there was a lot of commotion going on in the womb. Had this struggle within her. The Lord's response: two nations are in your womb, two peoples shall be separated from your body, one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Now, of course, as we know, as Carl shared with us last week, Esau sold his birthright because he was the older brother, and as God declared, the older was to serve the younger. Now, this birthright was very important. It wasn't nothing. It was something that Esau had sold. It was, in those days, it was family leadership, judicial authority, as we didn't have great governments with big houses and legislators and MLAs and all that sort of stuff. So within the family, he had judicial authority. He had wealth management responsible for the ongoing business that they were running. If it wasn't quite a business, we understand it, but they would have had flocks and of all sorts of things. So he was responsible for that management and growing it. And in this case, probably more than any other birthright in those times, he had the spiritual lineage, the blessings and promises that God had made Abraham. They were to go on. They went to Isaac. They were to be passed on to the next in line. And by birth, it should have been Esau as the eldest. And it was also recorded in Deuteronomy that the rights of the firstborn was a double portion. So from a material point of view, it was important. The wealth, by and large, was passed down to the oldest son. But, as we read earlier, that the older shall serve the younger. And God had declared it. And Romans 11:29, it says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable," or without repentance. Once God made that promise, once he made that declaration, that was it. It was not to be changed. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And that's one of the things that we can trust from God, that the promises that he have made, he will not change his mind. And for us, in a wider picture, that promise of salvation will not change. No matter what we do, the promise will not change. Once God declares it, his promises are without repentance. And another principle in scripture is that the first is the natural and then the spiritual. We have this example here in Esau and Jacob. A bit later on, there's that example with Joseph's sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. The blessings were given to the younger Ephraim in the end. And of course, the ultimate one is the first Adam, the second Adam. The first was natural, the second spiritual. That's the order that was given in Scripture. Now, this is all in accordance to the purposes of God, what happened here in Genesis. Now, Romans 9, verse 10 to 13 tells us, "And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. So this was the call of God, the election of God. It was made before even Jacob and Esau were born. There's nothing they had done at that time that this call was made, that the younger would serve the older. It was the call of God. It was the election of God. It was his right to do it, and that's what he did. As is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Now, Carl touched on this last week, but why would he say Esau I have hated? Because they're very strong words, but this was made at the end of, or in Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. So we saw the whole history of Esau, not only Esau, but his progeny, his family. The nation that came out of him was Edom, and it didn't do Israel any favours. I'll touch on that a little bit later. But there's a whole history related to Esau that's not only here in his own life, but what happened after his whole family and what that meant to Israel. As it turned out, I think you'll say it was a pretty wise decision. For as it turned out, Esau was a profane man, as recorded in Hebrews 12, verse 16 to 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Now, something happened after this passage that we read, because when he came back, he sought this blessing from Isaac, who would not give it to him. He'd already given it to Jacob. He would not give it to Esau. But the scriptures describe Esau as a profane man, profane in a sense, a wicked man, someone who had no regard for spiritual things. He was a man of the earth in a lot of ways. He didn't regard those things. Why would you sell your birthright for a pot of stew? That was the sort of person he was. I'm hungry, I'll just give it away. He didn't really have any regard for it. I'll sell it for a pot of stew. And so that really tells you what Esau was. This was just not a birthright about the physical things, the natural things, but the spiritual things associated with it. And he gave it all away. So now we return to our passage. And Esau is 40 years old. If we have a look at those last two verses in chapter 26, Esau is 40 years old. And 40 has a meaning in Scripture. Numbers have a meaning in Scripture. I mean, probably the one that we would know well is number 6, the number of man, the number of the Antichrist, 666. But numbers have meanings in Scriptures, in the Scriptures. And 40 has a meaning in Scripture. It is the number of perfect probation or testing, as 40 days of testing of Jesus in the wilderness we read of in the New Testament. That's what 40 is. That's the number it represents. So 40 years. 40 years of, if you like, the testing of Esau. And after 40 years of his life, what does Esau do? He marries two Canaanite women. He chooses self-will and marries people of the curse. Genesis 9, verse 25, and this is Noah speaking. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brothers. Now, there's a whole message on what Noah said to his three sons. They had tremendous implications for the history of the world, but we're not doing that message here. I can't remember whether I've done this message before, but maybe I should do it one day, like a reminder of how important that was as to what happened in the history of the world. But anyhow, this was what Noah said about Canaan. And one of Canaan's sons was Heth, and out of Heth came the Hittites. So he marries, so after 40 years, Esau decides, what will I do? They've been tested. What does the profane man do? He marries two people from the Canaanite, the family of Canaan. And of course, what were they known for? Their idolatry. They were an idolatrous people. And so his parents weren't thrilled either. What does it say in verse 35? And they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. He marries these two Canaanite women, and his parents go, oh no. You know, and as it turns out, they were a grief to his parents. So who knows what they were up to, but one would suggest that idols had a fair bit to do with it, because that's the family they came from. And this continues, you know, they were a grief to, as I said, they were a grief to Isaac and Rebekah. And this continues in Genesis 27:46, a little bit further on. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. These were the two wives. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth like those who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Well, she'd sort of one of those statements where she'd almost given up of what these wives were doing and what impact they may have had on Esau. But she says, well, if Jacob does the same thing, what good will my life be? And in Genesis 28:8, it says, also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan, his wives, did not please his father Isaac. So Esau knew how to upset the apple cart. And this marriage had not worked out well for the whole family. And the whole situation with these four people, Isaac, Rebekah, Esau and Jacob, you know, that wasn't gelling all that well. Now we come to the beginning of chapter 27, and Isaac calls for his favourite son Esau. My son, he wants to give him a blessing before he dies. Now, scripture tells us that Isaac lived to 180. So he wasn't as close to death as he imagined. He wouldn't have been a young man. I would imagine if you look at things about how old he might have been, he certainly was well in his hundreds, but he wasn't 180. But he thought, oh, it's coming to an end. And maybe the fact that his eyesight was failing him, maybe he had some other physical ailments, and he thought, it's just about over. I better get Esau in and give him the blessing. But the birthright already belonged to Jacob. Esau had sold his birthright. The birthright belonged to Jacob. And this was according to the will of God. It wasn't some accident. Even though Jacob had, you know, used a ruse to get it, in a sense, or used Esau's weaknesses, it still was according to the will of God, not the will of man, which Isaac still wanted to pursue. He knew that the birthright had been sold, but he still wanted to pursue this thing, even though it was the will of God that the younger would serve the older. So Isaac decides in self-will to give his blessing to Esau. I'm going to give the blessing to Esau. Even though the birthright is now with Jacob, I still want to give Esau, he's my favourite. I'm going to give him the blessing. So what did Isaac want out of this? What did he want for that blessing? Venison. So the low fee reflected Isaac's attitude to this. He just wanted a meal. I like deer. Can you give me some deer and I'll give you the blessing? So it wasn't much of a price, was it? So he sent Esau out to go and prepare a meal for him before he gave him the blessing. So all this is in spite of the fact of Esau intermarrying with Canaanites. Now, of course, this marriage had upset the parents, upset Isaac. Esau saw the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. And despite all this, despite the fact he'd gone and married the Canaanites who were idolaters, he still wanted to give him the blessing. Now, we've heard the story of what happened. Now, on Jacob's part, his grievous sin was deceiving his father. Now, it was a bit of a pattern in the family. It is recorded in Genesis 12 that Abraham told the Egyptians that his wife Sarah was his sister. And in Genesis 16, Sarah sending Hagar to Abraham with the intent of claiming the resultant child as her own. So the whole family weren't, you know, past a little bit of deception at all. But Jacob here continues on the line. He deceived his father. Rebekah had the revelation from God, so she should have simply trusted God, knowing that the blessing would come. The birthright had come, the blessing would come if she'd trusted God. And it would have come to Jacob. But what was in her heart is revealed in verse 5 and 6. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son. So she declares herself that Esau is Isaac's son, his son, and Jacob's my son, her son. So the family is really split into two camps. You've got Rebekah and Jacob on one side, and you've got Isaac and Esau on the other side. This is not a recipe for success with these sort of splits in families, and it doesn't go well. And this didn't go well either. But it's, you know, it's quite remarkable when you think of Isaac and Rebekah and the history of their lives and the history of what had been before them with Abraham and Sarah, that had come to this, that this split in the family. Now look, they continued on and carried on as in family life, but there was a schism in the family. That's clear. His son, her son. And it says, split into two camps. So the deception is planned, and Rebekah is going to deceive Isaac's senses. We've got five senses. We can see, we can hear, we can smell, we can taste, we can touch. That's primary school science, I think. I can remember doing those, the five senses we're taught about. So Isaac's nearly blind. So sight took care of itself. He could hardly see, couldn't see anything. Rebekah cooked the meal, which Esau was supposed to cook. It was savoury food, such as he loves. And while it was goat, not venison, being savoury would have taken care of the taste. So she cooked it the way he liked it, so he wouldn't really know who had cooked it. Rebekah dressed Jacob in Esau's clothes, which took care of the sense of smell, because they would have been made of skins of animals, so you'd know the smell. Maybe Jacob, you know, he might have liked linen. Sounds like he would have preferred linen rather than, you know, the skins of an animal, whereas Esau probably went for that sort of thing. So his clothes smell. She puts the skins of the goats she'd cooked on Jacob's hands and his neck, which took care of the sense of touch. So when you touched him, you touched these skins. It was like he was very hairy, had these hairy hands and hair all over him. So it felt like him. The only sense she didn't cover, and it would have been difficult, was hearing, the voice. Because I don't think they had helium balloons in those days. You know, when you get that Mickey Mouse sound when you breathe the helium balloon, didn't have those. So she couldn't cover the voice. So how does this deception go? Jacob's first words are, "My father." Well, the voice seems to have aroused Isaac's suspicions. "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" He's heard the voice and he's thinking, is my ears deceiving me? Because that sounds like Jacob to me. He's called, when the call comes, my father, here I am, who are you? Because he thought that Esau was still out in the field. What's going on here? So then comes Jacob's first lie. I am Esau, your firstborn. Well, that patently wasn't true. This is Jacob saying, I'm Esau. Well, that's a lie. So Isaac asks about the meal he had received. How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? So as soon as Esau's gone out hunting, you know, to prepare this meal for Isaac, in wanders Jacob, declaring himself to be Esau. So Isaac's sitting there going, how come he's back so quickly? Sounds like Jacob. He should be out in the field hunting these deer. How come he's back? Now comes the second lie. Because the Lord your God brought it to me. It's almost like I didn't even have to go hunting. God just brought it to me. Now, using God's name to make it, makes it all the worse. I mean, really, this is blasphemy, just, you know, introducing God into it. Oh, God made it for me, and here it is. I mean, you know, how far is this guy falling, and how many lies is he going to go through to get this blessing? You know, I think when you read some of the passage, when Rebecca comes up with this plan, I'm not sure Jacob's convinced that it's going to work. You sure this will work? But along he goes with it and goes through with it. Isaac is still suspicious. Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you really are my son Esau or not. Now, the two twins were completely different physically. One was smooth, and the other one was completely hairy. He wanted to come here so I can make sure, if I touch him, that this will clearly tell me the difference. So Jacob comes near and Isaac feels his hands. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau, or so he thinks. He's been deceived into thinking this. So you can imagine his mind sort of ticking over. Something's going on here, but I can't quite figure it out. Now, Isaac could hear the voice of Jacob, but his hands were hairy like Esau's. And Isaac's sense of touch overshadows his sense of hearing. And he said, are you really my son Esau? Then the third lie, I am. So once again, he repeats that, yes, I am Esau. So Isaac eats the meal and gives Jacob the blessing. There is the blessing of lordship. Oh, sorry. First of all, there's the agricultural blessing. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. So there's an agricultural blessing. Then there's the blessing of lordship. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Now, all this reminds me a little bit of Israel and the millennial kingdom as to about what's happened in the future. You know, I'm sure the blessing was there for them in that day. And, of course, Abraham was a very rich man. Isaac was very wealthy. And, of course, Jacob continued on having what he inherited eventually from his father. But also what was to happen for the nation, but more so what's still to happen in the future. But the curse has been a reality since it was given. So it goes on, cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be those who bless you. And this follows on from what was given to Abraham. Bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you, about the nation of Israel. And that has stood ever since it was given and still stands today. You know, I think that You have the nation surrounding Israel, hundreds of millions of people who want the destruction of Israel, and throwing rockets in there and whatever. They're wasting their time. Because Israel is God's people, and ultimately he will bless those that bless Israel, and he will curse those that curse them. And this has been the history in a lot of ways of the world for those that have come up against the nation of Israel. In the end, it hasn't worked out well. But all of this promise, this blessing, was to be sustained through Jacob, not Esau, because that was the will of God. The younger served the older. So what is the consequence for all four people involved? For Isaac, Rebecca, and Jacob, there is, I believe, a repentance in a sense for what they did. Now, they were clearly in the business of... Rebecca and Jacob were in the business of deception, and Isaac was in the business of giving a blessing to, or he wanted to give it to Esau when he should have given it to Jacob, because this was the will of God. For Isaac, in the sense of repentance, he would not withdraw the blessing he had given to Jacob. Maybe God's will had finally rested in his heart, because when Esau did come out, as we further on that chapter, he could not rescind that blessing and give to Jacob. I've given the blessing. I won't take it back. And for all the tears of Esau, he wouldn't do it. In a sense, he realized that this was the will of God. I'm not taking the blessing back. For Rebekah, she gave up her son and sent him away. There was threats against Jacob, but she sent him off to her brother. She gave him up so the blessing would continue. It'd continue on. For Jacob, he leaves and places himself under the protection of God. We're going to read further on the next series of messages about the life of Jacob. But he places himself under the protection of God. His life has many twists and turns, and he suffers from that, the immutable law of the universe, this, as you sow, so shall you reap. And he, all the things he'd done, the trickery of the sort of person he was, it all came back, as in his life, that the things that happened to him. But he does begin to grow up, and of course we see him mature into finally the man that he finally became. But there was a lot of sorrow on the way, on his journey. And of course, his 12 sons became the foundation of the nation of Israel. Now, as for Esau, no repentance there. He becomes the father of the nation of Edom, the bitter enemy of Israel, the people that hated Israel for their whole existence until God eventually finish them off, remove them from the earth. Amos 1:11. For three transgressions of Edom, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. Because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity, his anger tore perpetually, and he's kept his wrath forever. That was what the nation of Edom was. And at the end, when he said, Esau was a profane man, but his progeny that came from his wives, including the Canaanite women, was always a problem for Israel. They hated them. That's what they were. No repentance there. For the other three, probably repentance in the end. Okay, we'll continue on in our series on Jacob. It's a very interesting life. A full life, twists and turns, all the things that happened to him. But in the end, he was the promises of the blessings that were given to Abraham continued through Isaac, through Jacob, onto the nation of Israel, and continue on for thousands of years. Still here today, believe it or not. Shouldn't be. Disappeared from the land for nearly 2,000 years, brought back. But God has something in store for Israel, the nation, still to come. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that your promises are irrevocable, without repentance. Once you make those promises, they are forever. They're promises that we can trust in. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.